Welcome along to La Liga Weekly, and congratulations to the champions of Spain, Real Madrid. La Liga title number 35. Despite losing Ramos and Varane and having to deal in youngsters and free transfers while relying on the same old guys who've played for years, it's an eyebrow-raising achievement. But just one eyebrow, because those old guys are amazing. The free transfer was David Alaba. Barca are broke, Sevilla are toothless, and Atleti are having an identity crisis. And who better to raise a single eyebrow than Carlo Ancelotti? In the era of the managerial cults, there are no Ancelottians. No one's written a book or studied for their doctorate following the methods of Carlo Ancelotti. But who's won titles in Spain, Italy, England, Germany, and France? Nobody but him. Yes, the guy who wins titles and gets sacked, which is why he's able to get all those jobs in different countries. The man who described himself as emotional. I must have missed an extra eyebrow raise at some point during the season. The antidote to modern managers, Carlo Ancelotti. So thank you for joining us. Patreon.com/LTEL if you want to become a Patreon and help keep us in business. We'll have the latest from the rest of La Liga as well. Of course, Barca got a shock win over a relegation battler. Atleti got an unsurprising defeat in Bilbao. But of course, Terry is here. He was in, you're in Spain now. He was commentating for La Liga TV on the win that confirmed it. I mean, we knew it was coming, Terry, didn't we? They're so far ahead. It was on its way. It's been on its way for some considerable time. They have been easily the best team in Spain this season.
Yes. Yes, and one, my eyebrow was raised when I saw Luka Modric was playing at the weekend, because of course against the game against Man City coming up, Modric was starting. You're thinking, why is he doing that? But then you see the emotions afterwards and the celebrations afterwards, and I don't know how everybody else feels, because it's been an assumption that they were going to win it anyway. And it was inconclusive at this weekend that they only need one more point, and that was with five games left. And it meant that they had to lose every game and Barcelona had to win every game to steal the title. And that was never going to happen. And you wonder, why is he playing like some of the players that will play against City on Tuesday or Wednesday? And when you see the celebrations afterwards and how much it means, and you kind of think actually a league title is a big thing, even for Real Madrid, even for Ancelotti, even for Luka Modric and Benzema and the other players that have done it multiple times. And it just brought home, actually, sometimes you underestimate, perhaps we're guilty of just looking at the Champions League and thinking that's the one all the clubs want to win, it's the only one. But when you're in the thick of the action week in, week out, as they have been for the season, and dominating, as you said, easily the best team in the league. They've only lost three games all season. Three all, probably two definitely are surprises, and one with the scoreline was a surprise. So the 4-0 home defeat against Barcelona and the defeats against Getafe and Espanyol away from home came at a surprise. They never had a prolonged period of crisis. If we analyse the season as a whole, you're looking at it back and thinking, oh, they might draw in a game there. You didn't expect them to draw, but there was no period of three, four, five games without a win and not scoring goals. There hasn't been any of that. The biggest crisis this season probably is the Clásico and the defeat against Sheriff Tiraspol so far this season in the whole campaign. The way they reacted after the Barcelona defeat, when things could have got a little bit closer, and you see the way the two teams reacted. Barcelona went on a poor run, and Real Madrid bounced back and have been, you know, fantastic since then. So it's clearly the best team. And we shouldn't just say they've won it because Barcelona have been poor, because Atletico have been poor. As you said, quite rightly, Sevilla are toothless. Real Madrid have been excellent all the way through the season. You know, there's been games where they haven't been at their best, but they've got a draw, they've got a win. They've had key players at both ends of the pitch. Courtois has been the best goalkeeper in La Liga. Benzema and Vinicius have got 40 La Liga goals between, which is more than a lot of clubs in the division, and then you had on the other goals from lots of other players, and they've been excellent. And I agree with all your sentiments about Ancelotti. To him, I've said, and we've kind of agreed that it's been his priority this year. And you wonder why the Champions League, but he wants to win a league title with Real Madrid, and he hadn't done that, surprisingly. He's never done a double in one year where he's won the league and the Champions League. So that's the next challenge. It was great to see the players celebrate, the supporters celebrate. We haven't had that for a while because of COVID and everybody being able to celebrate together. It's been a long time since Real Madrid actually won the title in the Bernabeu as well. It's been like 15 years. So they were able to celebrate it to the max. We had the parade afterwards in Cibeles, and you know, it looks like everybody has had a good time. We've plenty of time to rest, recover, and prepare for the game against Manchester City. So it was an excellent weekend for Real Madrid. And, you know, I've talked about Benzema, Vinicius, Courtois, and you've got Modric in midfield, and, you know, some of the new signings. We forget there was no Ramos and Varane. Alaba and Militao have taken care of the centre part of the defence. So it's everything's been, you know, absolutely wonderful for Real Madrid so far this season.
One sign of the modern world. Was I right in thinking at Cibeles Fountain that there was some kind of pneumatic lift that carried Marcelo up to the...
I don't know how he got there.
I think they basically lifted him up there. I'm sure it's supposed to be some kind of death-defying climb, isn't it, by some...
Cherry picker.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's have a little bit of analysis. Obviously, they won the game by four. Actually, I'll give you some analysis from one of our patrons who was at the game. Ooh. In fact, Jack was there, and he says, "Hi, John. What did Terry make of Saturday's game? Brilliant atmosphere inside the Bernabeu. What? Somewhat strangely, Espanyol seemed to come alive at 3-0 down. We're unlucky not to have scored at least one. With that being said, Madrid didn't really get out of third gear. Watching Dani Ceballos play with panache and flair throughout the game, ooh, I couldn't help feel that it's a shame that such a shining talent is rarely seen. And I would add to that, I don't want to, you know, dwell on the negatives, but it's part of the Ancelotti magic, isn't it, of the stripped down basics. So he hasn't tried to, as you put it, recover Hazard and Bale, and hasn't really bothered with Ceballos. It is just a matter of choosing the players that you trust most, that you rely on, that you think that'll do, they'll work for a system, and then trusting them. And that's it. It's very unfussy, isn't it, Ancelotti? That is a good approach.
Totally. And I couldn't agree more about Dani Ceballos. I think he was one of the performances of the season. But any Real Madrid player this year, and there's been some spectacular performances. And he has changed as a player because in his younger days, I say younger, he's only, I've got his age here, Dani Ceballos, 25. In his younger days, back in the day, when he was 20, 21, 22, Betis and the Spain under-21s, he had a bit of an identity crisis himself. And people didn't know how to use him. We can see he's clearly got skill. And he was used more as a number 10 or an attacking midfield player. I must be honest, I didn't see an awful lot of him at Arsenal, so I can't sort of give an appraisal on how he did there or where he played or what type of player he was. But at the weekend, I saw a dynamic midfield player to the extent that he looked like he could even play the holding midfield role, where he was racing around, closing people down. And he was putting his foot in, he was being aggressive. And then when he was on the ball, he was just absolutely brilliant. Now, I know it's against Espanyol, and I know it's a day where Real Madrid are probably going to get the point at least that they need to win the league. But he was tremendous. It looked to me like he was a player that was trying to show that he should have been a bigger part of the squad. And on that performance of the weekend, I'd have to agree with you. And you could add Luka Jovic to that list of players as well, who gets criticised. And when I've seen him this season, he's had opportunities. I thought there was huge signs of improvement. So we can be critical. And if you're one of those players that's left on the, not even on the fringes, you're well outside, then it's tough. Isco is another one. Isco's a fantastic footballer. Now, I'm not saying he should be a regular at Real Madrid this season because of other good players that are there, but he comes on and he shows his talent. He was unlucky to have a goal disallowed, and he was racing forward and he was getting back. So there's some really good players at Real Madrid. I don't know what's going to happen with Ceballos. I don't even know what's going to happen with Ancelotti, to be honest. I think it's an issue at Real Madrid with a manager of that age having achieved his desire. I'm not suggesting that he's going to get the sack. Of course not. but there might be a coming together between him and Florentino Perez, where Ancelotti says, you know, I've been in this game a long time. I might want to change. I might want a break. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to some of those players. The majority of them, I think we know, Isco will probably go. Luka Jovic will probably go if they can get the right deal. Gareth Bale will definitely go. It's a shame he was a no-show as well, I have to be honest, at the weekend. And Hazard seems to want to prove a point still. So there's a few things up in the air, but there are some really talented footballers that possibly will be available. Dani Ceballos is probably the one where you're looking at it and thinking, will they let him go? Will they keep him? Modric isn't getting any younger. Kroos isn't getting any younger. Camavinga, again, was excellent at the weekend. What a super signing he's been. Valverde is a fantastic player as well. But the form of Ceballos at the weekend was absolutely brilliant. I really enjoyed his performance. And he showed to me that he's maturing as a player to the extent that he's not just a fancy damn number 10 anymore. I mean, he showed those fancy then skills on a number of occasions, but it was his aggression, his desire to win the ball back, and his football intelligence as well. I think he was brilliant at the weekend.
At some point, we will deconstruct Real Madrid. I think probably look ahead to next season and everything else. I mean, we've got four games when they're not going to probably figure much in the next four games in terms of analysis. Oh, they do have Atleti next weekend, don't they? So obviously, still games to win. So we'll do all that probably with Patreons, patreon.com/LTEL, if you want to get involved in that. But the ordinary podcast listeners, Terry, haven't heard us talk about the incredible game between Manchester City and Real Madrid in the Champions League. Obviously, got the second leg coming up, semi-final coming up. I was sort of gently making fun of you being a purist, Terry, because you were saying you didn't entirely enjoy the game, did you? The 4-3.
No, I enjoyed the game. I thought the standard of a lot of things was poor. Mm. And I'm sure both managers would look at it and think, Pep will look at it and think we were 2-0 up, we were 3-1 up, we were 4-2 up. How have we conceded three goals? How have we only got a one goal lead? Because his team on two fronts should have scored more than the four, so there was failings in their attacking play. And somehow Real Madrid with very few chances, very few periods of sustained pressure, momentum in terms of attacking play, somehow managed to score three goals. So Pep will be looking, thinking, we should have scored more. How have we conceded three? Ancelotti will be thinking, we've got away with murder because we've scored three goals without any real periods of pressure. Why have we conceded four? The defence has been pretty reliable this season. Yet you look at all the goals they conceded, they were all poor. To the extent Phil Foden is scoring a towering far post header, unmarked at the far post. That doesn't normally happen for Manchester City. Alaba doesn't normally make that type of mistake that allowed Gabriel Jesus to score. The players all stopped when they thought there was going to be a foul given, including Courtois, when Bernardo Silva scores a fine finish, but it was a poor goal to concede. No one opposed to stop the cross coming into the box for the first goal. No one picked up the runner for the first goal. So from Real Madrid's perspective, they've really got away with them. And when you look at when you say I'm a football purist, I don't think I am, definitely not. But and I thoroughly enjoyed the game. Who wouldn't? It was, seven goals. Attacking players were far better than the defenders on both teams. But I think if you're looking at being a football purist and looking at the tactics and the individual performances, the performances of each department of the team, it wasn't the best, but it made for a great game. Yeah, whether it would be like that in the second leg, I don't know. Yeah. Because both teams, I think both teams will be better in the second leg. Now, that might mean it might tighten things up, but then we don't know how the scoring goes. And then once the scoring goes a certain way, in different directions, teams have to change their attitude and the game might open up. But it's certainly a game in which Real Madrid are still very much in the fight. And home advantage, the one goal deficit, won the league at the weekend. They're in a celebration mood at the moment. The supporters are buoyant and they will genuinely believe that they can put it off and achieve a comeback. Manchester City and their Real still fancy their chances. If they think the Real Madrid are going to defend as poorly as they did in the first leg, they might be wrong, but I don't know. Hmm. It's, you know, Alaba was clearly injured because he was touch and go every play. He came off at half time, didn't take part of the weekend. He's a big question mark over whether he's going to be available or 100%. I'm pretty sure he'll play. Whether he's 100% or not, it remains to be seen. But it could be a different game, I think, if everybody's expecting another 4-3. I'm not going to say they could be wrong. They will be wrong because if someone, you know, City get an early goal and the Real Madrid really open up, then we could have goals at either end of the pitch again. But I'm expecting it to be a little bit more tighter and disciplined.
Barcelona, Terry, as I was unkindly said that they got a shock win against Mallorca, but recent form suggests that beating struggling teams is not necessarily one of their fortes. And Mallorca had chances, didn't they, to have done better in this game. So it was 2-1 to Barcelona, Memphis Depay and Sergio Busquets, Rayo got one for Mallorca. It would be wrong to characterise it that Mallorca nicked something at the end because, as I say, they had opportunities to really make it awkward for Barcelona. So we're not back at the lovely free-flowing Barca of a month ago by any stretch.
Oh, no. I think there were periods in the game where Barcelona were better. I thought the first 15 minutes of the second half, the play was a lot quicker, had a temper, had a rhythm. It has to have a beat. They don't have enough passes. I was looking at the stats in the first half and it was something like 270 passes in a half of football. In their heyday, they were getting 1,000 passes a game, always in the 900s. So that tells you how quick the ball was being moved constantly throughout 90 minutes of football. It's a lot down on that at the moment, whether that's just since Xavi's taken over, where it's just this season, or whether it's been a slow progression towards a game with less passes over the last few years. I haven't really delved into it too much. But I looked at the stats from the first half and thought, that seems to me quite low, you know, the amount of passes for Barcelona. And I think that's the different style of play. They're still shelling the ball into the box far too much. I mean, it was a lovely first goal, lovely pass from Alba. Great movement from Memphis Depay. I would question why the goalkeeper wasn't out further. He was in his 6-yard box by the time Memphis Depay is finishing off the opportunity. Probably, my recollection is maybe in the penalty box. Mafio was the player chasing him back. And then you say they won it in unusual circumstances because you don't see too many left foot long distance goals from Sergio Busquets. And then you're thinking at 2-0, I must admit, I was sitting there thinking this is going to be 3-4-5 now, because I probably thought that Mallorca would cave in and Barcelona were playing at a pace when they scored the second goal that Mallorca were really struggling to deal with, but they didn't continue. So therefore, then Mallorca made a few changes, a few substitutions, and the nerves crept into Barcelona's performance. Then Rayo scores a goal, which on a free kick from Barcelona again, poor defensive play from Barcelona. And then the attempts started to come thick and fast for Mallorca. To the extent Barcelona were playing out time at the end, running the clock down, trying to hold on to the 2-1 lead. I think it gives you an indication of the anxiety at Barcelona. It's a massive stadium. It's sparsely filled at the moment because of the way the season is going. The pressure is on the players from all angles, from the media, from the supporters in the stadium, from the supporters that are not at the games. The Real Madrid won the league the day before. It was a weird mood at the Camp Nou. It really was. And then they were delighted when they held on. And let's put it into context, they held on for a win against a team that are in serious relegation issues. But when you compare it to the defeat against Frankfurt, Cadiz, Rio, the three games on the trot, I'm surprised, but I kind of get why it was so anxious in the stadium and the players' performances. Great to see Ansu Fati back. Hopefully he can keep coming in as a sub between now and the end of the season, maybe at least get half a game in the last game of the season, I think, with Betis at home. So that was a big plus. There were good signs for Barcelona, but I think the most important issue was getting the 3 points.
What it was.
Scrambling a win because against Mallorca.
Qualifying for the Champions League is important. Yeah. And actually, it turned into a good weekend for them, didn't it? Because Sevilla drew with Cadiz. And Atletico were beaten 2-0 by Athletic. We don't know yet, obviously, what happens with Betis this evening. So it's actually, you know, it's a very good week, isn't it? Just on the other two, I mean, Atleti in particular, it's turning into a calamitous season, isn't it? You know, they could they're genuinely in doubt, in danger of not qualifying, isn't it? You know, and the
Betis financials... win tonight. Betis win on Monday night, they're a point behind.
And I
looked at Atletico's games coming up, and then, I mean, to start in the manner they did, away from home against Athletic Club, concede a goal, give Athletic Club an early start, you're up against it big time. And that's any of the top teams, whether it's Real Madrid, whether it's Sevilla, Barcelona. If you know you're going to be in for a tough game at San Mames. They're a good team. They work hard, fantastic atmosphere, and they're up for it when they play the bigger clubs. And to score early on, as Iñaki Williams did, then Atletico didn't really achieve much. It was a classic Atletico performance. And I looked at Atletico's fixtures. They got Real Madrid next week. I don't know how. It probably isn't a bad fixture at the moment, although, you know, it depends on how Real Madrid go in midweek against City. Then, it's don't underestimate the motivation of people like Danny Ceballos, who's got a lot to play for in terms of the remaining games. So then they've got Elche away, which isn't easy. Elche playing well and a decent team at the moment. Sevilla at home, and they finish with Real Sociedad away. So there's three of the four are really tough, and Elche is a complicated fixture. So hence the reason Atletico are in trouble, because Betis, if they could win it, Getafe would go a point behind, and then the pressure is on. The consequences of a non-top four finish for Atletico, and I have to say, the way they're playing, those games would be hard anyway, but they're playing so poorly. Not a lot happens. Correa hit the post with a deflected shot. Griezmann hit the crossbar with a free kick. Constant changing throughout the game. All the subs used pretty early in the game. I think 20 minutes left. All the subs have been used. And it just summed up Atletico's season so far. It was untidy. It was a bit of a mess. And then Oblak caused some controversy with some of the comments he made in the heat of the moment, directly after the game, where he was critical of the team, critical of pretty much everyone, including himself. They should be concerned. I don't know what the consequences are if Atleti don't finish in the top four. I think the claim is they've made 80 million, they make about 80 million a year from being in the Champions League. If that disappears, then Simeone is the highest paid manager in the world. They've spent a lot of money on attacking players. A year ago, they won the league, deservedly so. Added to the squad this season with Griezmann and Rodrigo de Paul. But the way they played in this game, they're a million miles away from Real Madrid. But look how quickly that can change. Look how quickly things have changed from last season. So I think Luis Suarez starting played a big part in the game, because I haven't seen Athletic Club defend as high up the pitch as they did against Atletico. The minute they saw Suarez playing, Marcelino must have said to his team, we're going to defend pretty much on the halfway line, and anything in behind, Nigo Martinez, Yere, the fullbacks, they'll deal with, because they were comfortable and they knew they could outpace Suarez. And they know that Griezmann drops deep and plays in between midfield and attack. So no threat in behind whatsoever. And that was clear in the first half. The tactic, Eki Williams was lively. Nico Williams was lively as well. Raul Garcia was, as always, a nuisance. They worked hard in midfield. Fully deserved the win. And a real concern to go. I think Barcelona needs 7 points from their remaining games to make sure they're going to be in the Champions League. And I expect that. Even the way that Barcelona have been playing, the one or two mistakes they've made, points they've dropped, but their fixtures are not too bad. They've got Betis away, so they can take care of that themselves. Betis, they need 7 points max. If they were to get something at Betis, it'd be even less. Then they finish with Celta at home, Getafe away, Villarreal at home. Villarreal will be preparing for the Champions League final then, so that would be handy for Barcelona.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That's one for the Liverpool fans.
We didn't mention Villarreal, did we?
Well, we're not yet.
I'm sure
not yet,
we will,
because
yeah.
they play no part in La Liga, Villarreal. It's like, no No, no mark. They're going to finish. Actually, they might. No, let's have a look at the league table. Actually, they're not guaranteed finishing seventh again, are they? By any stretch of imagination. Certainly not the way they're playing.
No, suddenly teams below them are suddenly gone. The Athletic Club, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So there we are. Villarreal 52 and Athletic 51. So, yeah, Osasuna realistically aren't going to catch them. Although, you never know how Villarreal are playing at the moment. So, they lost 2-1 at Alaves. We might as well have a look at the relegation battle, Terry, in the time that we have remaining. For the old people who remember the pools, Terry, the dividend forecast was low, wasn't it? Lots of one-all draws.
All yesterday.
Yeah, yes.
We're three on the trot.
Yeah. And won a day before that as well, wasn't it? So Sevilla won one with Cadiz. So that's a good result for Cadiz. But it is so tight, that relegation battle, isn't it? So Alaves, flicker of hope, 2-1 win over Champions League side Villarreal. Valencia 1-1 with Levante. Probably Levante messed it up this season, haven't they, big style? Elche 1-1 off to Osasuna, mid-table there, isn't it? Granada got a 1-1 with Celta Vigo dramatically. So you see it as points drop, but always with a late goal. Sometimes it feels, you know, like a shot in the arm, doesn't it, if you get
that? Yes, it does.
And the other 1-1 was Real Sociedad. just 1-1s everywhere, apart from the ones we've talked about so far. So what have we learned, Terry, elsewhere?
Well, I think now you have to start looking. It's easy to look at the league table and go, they're down, they've got no chance. And Alaves, I listened to the manager after the game, Julio Velasquez, and it was a big win. And they were playing a dire Villarreal. Loads of changes. I think it was 8 changes from Villarreal, but they looked flat. They didn't look motivated. So this is 8 players who didn't play against Liverpool. Mm. So you think there would be some, you know, some energy around the team and stuff like that. Danny Parejo, surprisingly, was one of those that started the game, which leads me to believe that maybe he won't play in the second league start against Liverpool. I don't know who will play instead, because Coquelin was injured. Ibora came in for this game, so I don't know who they would think would partner Capu, maybe Lo Celso, if it's going to be a more attacking lineup than Villarreal. So I was surprised that he played. Pau Torres, I get, because he's relatively young. Chukwueze is young. So they were the only two that started from the game against Liverpool. And Danny Parejo, who's 33. So that was kind of weird. But I looked at Alaves and yeah, they're full of fight, and a new manager, a little bit of an improvement in form. Then you look at their fixtures, and he's saying after the game, I think we can still do it. There's games we can win. I think no chance. And as he's speaking, I'm looking at the fixtures. Then I was asked the question, can they do it? And I went, yeah, they can. Mm-hmm. Because they've faced Villarreal and got the win. They've got Celta away, mid-table. Espanyol at home, mid-table. And then they're finished with Levante away and Cadiz at home. So if they can be in them with a chance going into the last two games, the team that started week 35, bottom of the table, 34, and get a win, they still have a chance. So Levante, I think it's beyond them now. And I think it's remarkable we're even considering Levante still being in the relegation fight when they went half a season without winning a game of football. So recent weeks, their form has been pretty good. Alessio Lisci has done well enough to suggest he's going to be manager next season. Their form has been over a point per game the last half a dozen matches, probably. So it's all happened too late. And you look at them, I can't get it. They've scored more goals than Real Sociedad. Granada have scored more goals than Real Sociedad. The other side of that is Levante conceded 66, so which is over double than Real Sociedad have conceded. So it's clear that Levante's problems lies. Alaves haven't been that inspiring. They weren't particularly inspiring in this game, but they had enough to be a poor Villarreal. Granada should have been well beaten by Celta. One of the few weeks we can be critical of Iago Aspas, and he was slightly irritating me at the weekend because he kept in chance after chance after chance, and he was either missing the chances or making the wrong choice at the end of the chance in terms of he could have passed and he didn't, or he passed and he should have shot. And he laughed, he kept smiling and laughing as if to say, I know what he was thinking, it's not going to be my day. You know, I'm not taking the chance, it should be, you know, they're being presented to me. Even the goal, Puertas, was an own goal. It came from Aspas. It should have been a goal, but somehow he relied on a Granada player finishing the chance off. So Celta should have won that comfortably. But Luis Mia gets a late goal. and they do snatch the draw, but one win in 16, most of those have been defeats. I think Granada are in trouble as well. And so going against Celtic at home, when you really want to turn things around and you haven't got the inspiration to do it, you're lucky to get away with a draw. I think that was a problem. They did have some injury issues, suspension issues, particularly in defence, hence the reason Celtic created so many chances. But it's given us lots of head-to-heads in the last four games that we can look forward to see, to let them sort it amongst themselves. There's plenty of those games, so it's certainly all to play for. And as I say, I can't believe we're week 35 and the Vans still aren't relegated.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Fascinating relegation battle coming up, and the battle for the Champions League as well. Just not the title, because Roma don't have won it. So congratulations to them. Thank you, Terry. Thank you for everybody who supports us, all of you for just watching and listening as well, and to the Patreons, obviously, for actually putting their money where their mouth is and joining in with us in the week. So we'll be back. Champions League, we'll see. One or two Spanish teams in the Champions League final, all up for grabs. So we'll be back with Patreons then. We'll be back to have another look at the race against relegation for the Champions League next week. And we'll see you for another podcast then.